Okay, so today this is, we're having an ethics conversation, and the topics today in 2018 I've kind of designated as gray areas of coaching and being aware of those gray areas so we can be aware and make sure those gray areas actually don't turn into some kind of breach of ethical code. So I know some of you already know me, some of you do not, so I'd just like to quickly introduce myself. My name is Tina Elliott, and I am a PCC and BCC credentialed coach and longtime past member of the ICF Independent Review Board, which is considered the ethics complaint board at the ICF. Currently, I'm leading an ethics task force at ACTO, which is the Association of Coach Training Organizations, supporting them in updating all of their ethical processes. So it's a little about me and my background. So I've been doing this ethics stuff for a while. Some of you also here might know me as a faculty member at Institute for Life Coach Training. So I am passionate about ethics, which is why I'm passionate about coaches operating highly ethical so they can stay out of ethical hot water. So I want to want to welcome everyone here today. I love that the line is nice and quiet. So I will tell you though, if you have other distractions in your background or you're multitasking or whatever, please put yourself on mute, which is *6, and so that we can keep the line quiet. So that we can have some great discussion here. I always believe there's some great wisdom in these groups and when I have these calls. And I really like it to be a discussion because I get tired of just talking. Okay. So important to share your thoughts. I will be doing this in a coaching format. I will be asking questions, and I hope that you'll share your thinking on it. Okay. So our topic today is we're talking about multiple relationships as a coach. Is it ethical or not? So, what are we talking about here when we're talking about multiple relationships? Anybody have a share on that?
Hi, this is Salif. I'm thinking as a coach that can, I might sometimes need to expressly state that I'm stepping outside of the coaching boundaries if I want to, say, give a direct advice, you know, act as an advisor or, to encourage someone to do something versus, you know, allowing them to express something from within themselves.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a good guess. Well, let me share a little more on that, okay? So I want to share a little bit about what really constitute multiple relationships. Now, I'm actually going for a real definition here when we look at multiple relationships. And what we're going to find, I think, is what's really fascinating as we start to look at is there's some groups or some professional organizations and credentials that feel that multiple relationships is unethical and others that are like, well, we're kind of open on it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So a multiple relationship occurs when a coach is in a professional role with a person and at the same time is in another role with the same person or at the same time in a relationship with a person closely associated with or related to the person with whom the coach has the professional relationship. And there's one more piece here too. Promises to enter into another relationship in the future with a person or a person closely associated with or related to that person. So notice, we're not just talking about an individual that you already know in some other capacity, but also who might be related or have a connection with that person. So another thing to consider around these multiple relationships is, they really typically feel that a coach should really refrain from entering into multiple relationships if multiple relationships could reasonably be expected to impair the coach's objectivity, competence, or effectiveness in performing his or her functions as a coach. So that's a few words on the kind of what we call the official definition of multiple relationships. And by the way, this actually comes from the psychological realm. Okay, because that is a big no-no to be actually providing therapeutic services to multiple relationships, so someone you already know in another capacity. Okay, and I think what's important to note here, too, when they talk about it in psychological realm, you know, they speak to the potential for risk of exploitation or harm to the client. Now, I know in coaching we don't usually use a lot of those words, but in fact many years ago, there was some language actually in the ICF code about exploitation and harm. I think the way we see coaching, a lot of us today, is we're working with functional individuals, so we don't necessarily see that harm could happen. But we're going to go through a dilemma later on today and look at what could happen, and it might actually be considered harm. So what about coaches? You know, do you think harm or exploitation could happen in a coaching relationship? Is that possible? What do you think?
This is Latifu. Yes, mm-hmm. I believe it can definitely happen.
Yeah, it could happen. You're right. It's certainly not the norm, but it could happen. And, you know, it depends on circumstances as well. So if harm could happen, or if it would not be a good thing to be coaching multiple relationships, we'll call it that, you know, in what relationships might this happen, that there could be harm or exploitation, or, you know, let's just say create a problem. In what type of relationships could there be a problem created, do you think?
If you have personal relationship with someone, if it's a friend or family member and you're coaching them.
Absolutely. So coaching friends, coaching family, coaching what, maybe even coworkers. What other relationships do you think?
This is Lissa. I'm wondering if, that you didn't have a multiple relationship, but two of your clients had a relationship with one another.
Good point. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, too.
Okay.
Very good point. We're going to talk a little about it, but what I am going to tell you is there's another call that's going to happen about that where we dive deeply, more deeply into that. So good point. How about your spouse or partners? Do we coach our spouse or partners?
No.
Is that a good
idea?
No. I don't know about you, but I've had partners who are like, what are you doing? Are you doing that coaching thing on me? Just in a conversation, yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, these are what we're talking about, where potential harm or something could happen to the relationship. And I think that's, you know, what we really have to keep in the forefront about, you know, what could happen. And here's the other thing I really want to point out, and I've seen coaches get in trouble. I think it was the last call I did about coaches overhelping. We really want to help everybody. We want to support everybody. And sometimes because of that thinking, you know, we have to step back a little bit and say, is this right for everybody involved? Okay? So according to the BCC credential, they actually do have something in their code of ethics. By the way, we've got a lot of background noise, so if you're doing other stuff or you've got other conversations happening, if you could please use *6 or your own mute to mute yourself, I'd appreciate it. Okay. So BCC, they really actually do have noted in their code something around multiple relationships. However, according to the ICF, it's not considered unethical. So according to ICF, this falls more into a gray area. And I will say there have been some discussions over the years around this topic. Don't know where it's going to go. They're getting ready to update the code, and I'm actually going to be part of that team. So who knows, in the next reiteration of the ICF code, there might be something there. But I want to speak more specifically, particularly I'm going to talk about the BCC code for a minute, because the actual code there says, avoid engaging in multiple relationships with clients or sponsors. In situations where multiple relationships cannot be avoided, certificates and applicants shall discuss the potential effects of the relationship with the affected individuals and shall take reasonable steps to avoid any harm, and this discussion should be noted in the client's record. So they're pretty clear about the expectations, but ICF doesn't really have expectations around this per se. But what we're going to look at today is the code that ICF does have that could be an outcome of having multiple relationships. Okay? All right, so we've talked a little bit about coaching family members, maybe even colleagues, partners, or friends. You know, what do you think could happen, though, if you were coaching in folks, there are multiple relationships for you. What could potentially happen?
For me, I've noticed that if I coach someone that I know in another relationship, like a friend, sometimes I'm more interested in the outcome, or I have my own opinion about it, and so that can creep in. Like if I have a friend who is thinking about getting a divorce and I'm friends with her husband, I have my own opinion creeping in, so it's better for me to not coach that person.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much. As we have some, should we say, skin in the game in regards to the results or the outcome or what we want for the client, right? Good point. So let's take a look at some other things. You know, for example, would it be considered multi-relationships? Let's say you're coaching leaders in an organization and their subordinates at the same time. Could that be considered multiple relationships? What do you think?
Yeah.
You're right. And that's not crystal clear sometimes in either code, for the VCC code, not crystal clear. So even with that, and it's very common a lot of times that companies will bring a coach in, they love the coach, and they'll say, oh my gosh, we want you to coach this person, all these people, and there's connections between some of these folks. It can be challenging. So it's important that we really have our ethical awareness fine-tuned, even in situations like that that you might not think about. What about coaching leaders in a company who are siblings? What do you think about that? Would that be multiple relationships and something to be aware of?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, these are these kind of things that you don't really think about off the top. It's not black and white, per se. But these are things to be aware of and what the impact could be. You know, we talked about coaching friends. And, you know, there really is a dynamic that we already have for friends. You know, you think about your relationship with your friends. There's reciprocity in conversation. You know, some about me, some about you, back and forth. And this is not how a coaching relationship works. So, you know, there can be a challenge around that, because your friend is used to being a friend, not a coach. Also, as a coach, we need to tell the truth, don't we? That could be hard. You know? You see how your friend's getting in their own way, their behavior, whatever it may be, their actions they're taking? It may be hard to tell them the truth. Okay? But, you know, if we're coaching somebody, that's our job, is to share what we notice and perceive as a coach. You can see how this might harm a relationship? Can you all see that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It can harm a friendship and a relationship. And you know what I found really fascinating way back when I did my training over almost 20 years ago? You know, when I was being trained in a coach training organization, you know, they said, coach everyone, coach your friends, coach your family. And I'm like, no. Today I'm like, no, don't do that. So, yeah, it really can cause some damage. It can cause harm, and we need to be aware of that. So do you think that some of these multiple relationships and trying to coach them, do you think it could actually lead to a breach of ethics? What do you think? Anybody?
Yes.
Yeah?
Definitely.
Definitely. You're absolutely right. This can lead to a breach of ethics. So I think what I'd like to talk about today, we've kind of talked about the BCC code. There's a little more clarity there around multiple relationships. They actually speak about it. But what I'd like to talk to for a moment here is think about, you know, what is some of the code, let's say, for example, in the ICF, that could potentially be breached in this type of a coaching agreement. So what do you think? Do you think there could be a conflict of interest here?
Definitely.
That's some pretty strong words there. Definitely. You're right. So, for example, if we're looking at the ICF code number 13, it's seek to be conscious of any conflict or potential conflict of interest, openly disclose any such conflict, and offer to remove myself when conflict arises. So that's pretty clear. There could definitely be a conflict of interest. And, you know, something I've said and seen over the years with conflict of interest is it can be really sneaky sometimes. I like to think it can kind of sneak up on you when you're not aware. So I think awareness around potential conflict of interest is really important for any coach in any coaching situation or environment. Okay. What about this one? Honor, number 16, which is honor an equitable coach-client relationship regardless of the form of compensation. So do you think that could be a potential breach in this type of a coaching engagement?
I definitely think so. I think sometimes if people are not paying the full rate, and then if they don't, like, show up on time or whatever, there can be some resentment on my part. Like, don't you know how much this coaching is worth? And they probably don't if they're not paying the full rate. It hasn't been explained to them. And so I need to be really careful about how much I charge just so that I am giving my best coaching.
That's a great point you bring up, and it is really easy. I know in past pro bono relationships I had many years ago that, you know, it wasn't taken seriously because they're not paying much or paying anything, not showing up, not doing their prep form, not really doing the work, okay? So that's a great point. I think even when we look at this, you know, equitable, there's that word equitable coach-client relationship. You know, is it equitable what we're doing? Is it equitable to coach a friend? Okay, so these are things to really think about. And can you stay in the coach role versus shifting into that friendship role? I can kind of see where it might be easy to shift back and forth within that conversation, right? Because your friend is used to being a friend, not having you be their coach. So again, here's another potential to think about. So another code that might affect, be affected in multiple relationships. And here's one more piece. Let's take a look here at 23. So encourage the client or sponsor to make a change if I believe the client or sponsor would be better served by another coach or by another resource, and suggest my client seek the services of other professionals when deemed necessary or appropriate. What do you think about that code? Think that code could be breached potentially?
Yeah.
You know, I think it was said earlier in the call here, too, that we might, you know, we might want to coach a friend because we're like, we know what they need. We know what the, how they're getting in their way. We might think we could just be the best because we know so much already. But in truth, this could actually be a deterrent to actually the coaching relationship, because the coaching relationship allows the client to make their own decisions. Coach doesn't have, like I said, doesn't have a space in there about making decisions of what's best for the client. It's all on the client. You know, and here's another point here. Because both you and your friend would have a common interest in really keeping your friendship intact, because who would want to lose a friendship or a relationship over this? Right there, that by itself could be a potential conflict of interest. Here's another piece. Your friend might not speak up candidly in the coaching relationship, which, again, would not be in her best interest, because it might be difficult to tell the truth, to own their own piece of what's going on or take a deeper look at themselves. So, again, this is some code in ICF that we have to kind of really be conscious about in multiple relationships and taking a look at that. So what do you do if you choose to have multiple relationships as a coach? What do you do?
To me, the contracting is really important. I think the two times I've had the worst problems is when I've coached the children of close friends, like not the children, you know, 20-something people who they were referred by their moms who I was friends with. And in both cases, I could sense, like, I'm not coaching this person the same way, and there wasn't a contract clearly in place, and I really just think I thought I learned my lesson the first time, and then I did it again like 10 years later. Like, just make sure no matter who it is or just make sure you have a contract that's really clear and what happens if you think that it's not going the way you would want or you would want to refer them on, and just talk about it at the very beginning.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that, by the way. I'm curious, what would you do different next time in this situation or these situations?
Well, I don't think you can always know in advance. I think in each case I went into it feeling like, okay, this is a really cool person, and they're ready for coaching. And then it turned out there were other things going on. And since I had the friendship with the parent, I didn't do my usual contracting. So I think I would have sent the contract, had them read it over clearly so they know what coaching is versus counseling, what happens if you need to refer them to someone else, and then actually talk it through during the initial session, saying, hey, you know, I understand we have a little bit of overlap here, and I just want us both to be clear that if at any point either of us feels like getting in the way, we will very cordially just move on and send you to someone else.
Okay, so refer them to another coach, right?
Yeah, or a counselor.
Or counselor. Yeah, absolutely. Based on whatever they really need, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a really good point. And, you know, in those relationships, sometimes I like to say the sponsor-client relationship, parents with children. You know, I've had numerous parents call and say, oh, God, I need a coach for my child. You know, there's so many points to be aware of in that. Just have your awareness up around, you know, sponsor and client relationship, you know, how you share information ethically, you know, making sure the client is really engaged and not just the parent wanting this for the child. That's a big one, you know, is to really be clear on that. But you're right, particularly in these friends and, you know, having friends, it's important to really be aware. I think if you look at the BCC code, they're pretty straight up on this. It's really just avoid it first. Really avoid it. If you have a choice, a real choice is avoid it. I'd like to say most of the time we're usually at choice, unless, we're looking at internal coaches who are assigned and may not have a choice. That's common in some environments. But, you know, typically many of us who have our own businesses, we always really have a choice. And I think that's an important thing to think about. We are at choice. Okay? So the BCC says really avoid it. But if it can't be avoided, then you really need to have discussions up front. So having those discussions up front, I also would say have things in your agreement around that and how things would work. Okay? Having the discussion. And I think, like, who was it, Lisa just said, you know, making sure it's crystal clear that if you get to a point in the relationship that, you know, it's causing any kind of damage or harm or any kind of problem whatsoever, that you'll cancel the coaching. I think that's a really good point. Okay? And then, you know, ICF doesn't speak specifically to that. They speak more around potential conflict of interest. And, again, in conflict of interest, you are to have a discussion up front and remove yourself if a conflict should appear, okay? So no, these are things in these types of situations. It's not to say you can't, but there are some pretty clear guidelines for the BCC. ICF is a little more nebulous, but I like to say beware, okay? Because sometimes the outcome might not be what we were thinking. And I've actually talked to numerous coaches who've been in these situations saying, what do I do? Oh, my gosh. You know, this isn't going as planned, and found themselves in that place where they're like, oh, my gosh, what do I do now? So what I'd like to just check in, is there any questions or comments on what we've talked about so far today?
Hi, Tina. This is Tom. How are you?
Good, Tom.
I think you answered my question, and I've been steering away from coaching relationships where I work as an adult addiction counselor, and I also work in a school system, and I've had clients that are at discharge that want to work with me outside of the healthcare facility, and I've had a colleague in a school system who wanted to refer her brother-in-law to me, and I'm always saying no, while the work, it seems like it would be very rewarding and very interesting, I've said no, and I think I'm doing the right thing, but I just wanted to get your input on that.
You know what? I like to say, err on the side of caution. I really do believe you're better off to say no, and I know it's hard for a lot of coaches sometimes to say, God, I really want to help this person, I want to support them, but that's kind of my belief, is just be really consciously aware, and I like to say, err on the side of caution, so I really want to commend you for doing that.
Thank you, I agree. Thank you for confirming that.
Okay, great. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, before we jump into the dilemma we have today?
I just was interested in hearing more about future relationships.
About future relationships. Okay, so yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So certainly the BCC sees that, future relationships as a potential multiple relationship. I think when I think about future relationships, let's say you have a client and you're coaching a client, and let's say you guys really hit it off. I've had that happen numerous times, by the way, where I just love my client. We hit it off. We just get each other. And I've had clients want to become friends. So
yeah, exactly.
If you're coaching that client.
For me, I just let people know we don't ever change a relationship in the middle of the coaching. And so we say, okay, how many sessions do we have left? And then we can always talk about it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the BCC is, I think that's what the ICF says, but I don't know if the BCC has another perspective.
Well, I think that's, again, the safe side is where, you know, ICF is very clear when it comes to partners, so, you know, dating and those types of things, that we do not do that, that you do not you do not date or engage with someone while you're coaching them. You're welcome to, you know, cancel coaching, move into a relationship. BCC does not see it that way at all. They want 2 years at least between before you actually date someone. So that's very different there. But when it comes to friends or people that you just really hit it off with, it's a really good practice to think about that. You know, I'm their coach right now. And, you know, if they're saying, you know, I'd love to get together with you as a friend, is really be aware. And, you know, have that discussion that currently I am your coach. And, you know, as long as I'm your coach, it's best that we keep the relationship here intact. And then if we want to be friends afterwards, we're open for that. I've actually had a client, of course she'd done quite a bit of work over a period of time, but she says, you know what, I'd rather be friends with you than you be my coach. So we canceled the coaching and we became great friends. So that can happen. But again, how you handle that is important. So that was a great question. Was that helpful?
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So let's do this. Let's kind of dive into this dilemma. And those of you who've been on calls before know how I do this. So I'm going to ask, if you have a clean, free, quiet background to come off mute. And as I read through this dilemma, I'd like to say I'd like your ethical intuition to be fine-tuned. And as I start to share about this dilemma and where your intuition, your ethical intuition starts to talk to you, like, I don't know, then I want you to say ping. Okay, so as I read through this, if your ethical intuition starts to speak to you, say ping. Okay, so here we go. We're going to read through the dilemma, then we're going to take a look at it about what could potentially happen here. We're going to talk a little bit about course correction, meaning what could the coach have done different, and then take a look at how to, how to protect yourself in the future around this. So here we go. This dilemma is called the loving giving coach. So Coach Sarah has completed her coach training and has been building her coaching business now for over 2 years. Her sister-in-law, Teresa, her brother's wife, calls her and wants to know more about her coaching. She is wanting to continue her education and is looking at a new career and wondering if coaching could help her. Coach Sarah has a great call with her sister-in-law, Teresa. Teresa says she would love the support of coaching, however, can't afford it. Because Coach Sarah loves her brother and wants to support him and his wife, Sarah, agrees to coach Teresa Profondo. All right, you guys are good. Good, good. Okay, the coaching starts. Things appear to be going very well. Coach Sarah notices that Teresa could really benefit from some personal development work. And she shares that with. Now, is that unethical? What do you think?
No.
Part of what we do as a coach, right?
Yeah.
Right? But also there's that relationship. Where's this really going to go, right, if they do personal development work? Okay, so this is kind of the muddy part. You're right. You're right. Good point. So
I have a comment. You know, even though personal development is part of coaching, in that particular situation, I think there's the danger of the sister-in-law knowing what the brother's wife needs and will potentially steer her in a particular direction instead of pulling from within her what she, you know, thinks that she needs herself.
Okay, you're right. That's a potential. But let's hear the rest through here, and we're gonna talk. You're going to see what happens here, all right? All right, so Teresa agrees and excited about doing the professional the personal development work along with her regular coaching work. So they dive in to some personal development work along with the career work. As the coaching proceeds, things start to come to the surface about problems in her marriage with Coach Sarah's brother.
Uh-oh.
Now having concerns about the coaching as she's very uncomfortable. She feels that, she really wants to support her client in looking at what she needs to do. However, feels, something's off here, right? Ping, ping?
Yep, mm-hmm. Ping, ping.
Yeah. Coach Sarah says, well, the engagement will only go for another 3 months, so she decides to tough it out.
Ping, ping,
ping. Yeah, good. Okay, client Teresa thinks she might need to get out of the marriage or at least take some time away, as in a separation, and work through her concerns around her marriage and learn to stand stronger, set boundaries, and say no. Separation? Anybody? She is also very unhappy with the lack of intimacy in her marriage and needs to look at what to do around this.
This is her brother we're talking about.
Yeah, hello, ping, ping, hello.
Yeah.
This is her brother. Is this appropriate for a coach to go there regarding her brother? Okay, so Coach Sarah is very uncomfortable at this point, and she did not expect this to go there. She knows as a coach that it's the client's to drive this. It's the client's decision. She feels very bad because this could have a huge impact on her brother and his family life.
Ping,
yes, thank you. She thinks he should know about this, but of course cannot say anything to him directly due to the coach-client confidentiality. Ping, ping, huh?
Yeah.
Coach Sarah's in a tough spot, isn't she? So Coach Sarah is very uncomfortable coaching Teresa around her marriage and suggests they move back to the topic of career.
Ping.
Okay. Ping. But Teresa does not want to talk about career right now. She really needs to deal with her marriage.
Ping.
Girl.
Yeah. So Coach Sarah takes a breath and says, I'll do my best in coaching Teresa. Ping. Although she feels ping. Like this is a breach of family code she was brought up with.
Ping,
ping, ping. So Coach Sarah continues the coaching for the 3 more months as agreed to.
Ping.
Yes.
Yeah.
During this time, Teresa elects to separate from her husband and focuses on herself and still moves forward with her education and new career.
Ping.
Ping. Okay, so coaching engagement's done. 2 years later, Sarah's brother and sister-in-law decide to divorce. Sarah's brother calls Sarah and is really upset with her, as he feels if Sarah had not coached Teresa to become stronger, stand up for herself, and move forward with her own desires and dreams, he would not be divorced. He is blaming Sarah for the divorce.
Yeah.
Ping, ping, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So Sarah would like to explain what really went on in the coaching in her role, but cannot, again, due to coach-client confidentiality. This has a huge impact on Sarah and her brother's relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can see with all the pinging going on here, there was a lot of opportunity for the coach to decide to take a different direction, correct?
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, but because the coach decided, kept taking breaths, wanting to support her sister-in-law, wanting to help, wanting to be the good coach and good sister and good sister-in-law, that she elected to continue to support. Now, was this really an appropriate coaching relationship?
No.
And why not?
Because of the family dynamics.
Yeah, because of the family dynamic. Yeah, what else?
Well, there were topics that the coach did not want to coach the client on.
You know, right, that's not what we do, is it?
No, I mean...
No.
So right from the get-go, you know, either she had to set boundaries around the topics or she had to say that she would refer her to someone else to talk about the issues related to, you know, her relationship with her husband.
Absolutely. Good point. So you can see where this got very, very messy.
Yeah.
Now, this was her brother, so he certainly wasn't going to put an ethics complaint against her, but it really did some very serious damage to their relationship. But let's say her brother decided to file a complaint. What pieces of code or sections of code here, let's talk about ICF for a moment, could come into play, do you think? Do you think conflict of interest?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of those ones we talked about, right? Seeking to be conscious of conflict or potential conflict and removing myself. There was definitely conflict going on here. And then what about that number 16, honoring an equitable coach-client relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah? This really wasn't equitable, you know, because the coach wasn't able to really do her job because of the challenge of talking about what the client really wanted to work on, in part with the career work, was her marriage. So again, that could potentially be breached as well. And then here's another one. Obviously, there were numerous opportunities through this dilemma for the coach to make a different decision. And that different decision, as some of you have already said, would be number 23, to encourage the client or sponsor to make a change if I believe the client or sponsor would be better served by another coach or resource.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Absolutely. And then even going back to the BCC code, you know, absolutely there is code there as well that speaks directly to these multiple relationships and what we need to be aware of. Okay? So really being aware of that. All right? So know that this really notice, this may be a gray area, particularly in ICF, but at the same time, it could definitely turn into a breach of code. And that could end up in a ethical complaint and having to go through that whole process, et cetera. And I think when we look at this, you know, the biggest and one really important part was the damage done to her family relationships, right?
Tina, what does number 16 mean? What does equitable mean?
Honor equitable coach-client relationships.
Yeah.
So, what does it mean, equitable?
Yeah.
So, equitable coach-client relationships, meaning they're equal. So, for example, when a coach is client, a regular client, they're paying the coach for services. That is equitable. They are paying for a service. Mm-hmm. How is this relationship with the sister-in-law actually equitable? When you're coaching for free, you are basically handing over a service. And there's nothing coming back. Is that equitable?
I see.
Okay.
Although many of us do coach pro bono.
You're absolutely right. Pro bono can be part of the coaching. However, I like to say, and I've seen numerous situations where pro bono coaching can actually go sour as well, because there isn't something coming back. There isn't equitable. It isn't equitable. Now, that's not to say you can't do it, but it's better to have some kind of equitable service, bartering, for example, something to that effect.
Yeah.
Okay, I know a lot of new coaches pro bono coach, and I will say for myself, you know, I certainly did it too. And it was very frustrating. We talked about that earlier in the call. It can be super frustrating, you know, because it's not taken seriously. They're not paying anything when, in fact, they were paying for it. They'd be paying very good money. I think that's part of the motivation for our clients is paying good money for their coaching, you know. Yeah. So that's an important thing, you know, to take a look at. The coach could not really do her real job with the client because there were areas that were too delicate and too sensitive to be coaching in, and the client wanted to be coached there. So those are some really important things to think about, okay? But biggest, and even though ethics and all of that, I mean, the damage done to the relationship, I mean, how can you repair that, you know?
Hi, Aaron, Raphael.
Somebody's not on mute and talking for Raphael and all. Could you please put yourself on mute or star six, please? I'd appreciate that. Okay, so this is a really important thing to see how quickly something that a coach is doing in support of her family, support of a friend, support of anyone can, I'd like to say, go south or go sour. You know, and it's just not worth it. So I'm going to actually be sharing a few tips on this and around awareness around multiple relationships. And also we're going to be looking at course correction for this particular coach. You know, what should have been done and where. But before I go there, I want to take just a minute and let you know about the upcoming workshop. So if any of you need, also this is a course with ILCT, if any of you need CCEs for a credential renewal, in this actual four-week class or course, we're going to look very deeply at you and how you see ethics and your own filters that could get in the way of you seeing things from an ethical perspective. You'll also receive a comprehensive coaching agreement that covers all the bases I'm aware of today from ethics, as well as the important legal components of a service contract. So if you're interested, you can sign up at ILCT, or you can sign up on my website, which is synergycoaching.org. The workshop starts May 23rd and is on the 30th, 6th, June 6th, and June 13th for an hour and a half. Cost is $325. I will say I've heard back from many coaches who've attended and say the cost of admission for the course is definitely just the agreement you get out of it, as well as the personal insights, is well worth it. So I hope some of you might consider joining me if you haven't in the past. So let's talk for a few minutes here about some things to be aware of. So it's super important that no matter what environment we are coaching in, be it organizational, be it personal, be it family, be it whatever it may be, I'd like to say even friends of coworkers or coworkers who know other coworkers, you know, even at a distance, is to be highly aware of what could potentially happen and what is the damage or harm that could be done if you are to coach that person. Okay? So really being aware of your relationships and the connections there. Okay? Again, I like to say, so really, you know, let's err on the side of caution. You know, really think about what could happen here. And what should we do instead? So let's open that up. I think we've had enough discussion. What should that coach have done instead?
Referred out,
you're right. How do we refer out ethically, by the way, since we're talking about that?
I would not name a specific coach, but I would tell her where she could go to get, you know, information on various coaches.
Yeah, good point. You know, when you're referring specifically to a coach, and this is another area to be aware of, not because you recommended someone, and this goes for any professional, that could come back to bite you. So whenever referring, you know, we have databases. ICF has a database. ILCT has a database. There's databases all over the place. I know other coaches who've been coaching for a very long time have a very long list of other coaches for potential clients who they're not going to work with to use that list. But you never want to refer directly to one. We want to let our clients do their own work and find a coach that really matches well with them. Okay? All right. How would this work, though, you think, in this pro bono instance, let's say, with this particular dilemma today? And, you know, a lot of coaches won't do pro bono work. How would Coach Sarah support Teresa in finding a coach that'd be willing to coach pro bono? How might she do that?
I would send her to the same website.
Okay.
You know, or the organization. Yeah, and have her to specifically ask for coaches who do pro bono work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good point. Absolutely. You know, and it's really common, I think, like we talked about, for students in the beginning of their coaching to do pro bono coaching. Okay, so thinking of, you know, coach training organizations, for example, Institute for Life Coach Training, you know, there's information there. And to put it out that you, you know, are willing, you're looking for a pro bono coach. Okay, so really doing that referral. That's kind of what this coach, you think this coach Sarah should have done, is that right?
Yeah.
But let's say she looks at it all and decides she's still going to coach this client. She's going to coach her sister-in-law. What should that coach have done prior to coaching her sister-in-law?
Set some really strict boundaries.
Okay. Strict boundaries. Like what boundaries?
The topics.
No family issues.
No family issues? Okay. Okay. Around the topic. Now, on that, setting those kinds of boundaries, is that really what we do as coaches? Set boundaries on conversations with clients?
No.
No.
No. Something to consider, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What other conversation maybe should have happened here prior to coaching Teresa?
About the potential conflict of interest.
Ah, there you go. You're right. There should have been conversations up front about how you, her profession, Sarah's profession, sees this, and this could lead to a conflict of interest, right?
Yeah.
And maybe have a discussion about the benefits of having working with another coach, maybe. Yeah? So that discussion should have been had up front. That's according to, you know, ICF, BCC. Always when there's conflict of interest, you bring that to the table and ideally remove yourself. Okay? So ideally this coach should have removed herself, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? What other thing might this coach have done, if anything?
I think she could have had a very extensive conversation about what her sister-in-law is looking for.
So an extensive conversation about what her sister-in-law is looking for. So really diving in more about
yes.
the coaching work, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that might have come to the surface, wouldn't it? It might not have, though, too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So she really couldn't be a good coach for her, could she?
No.
How could she even be present, if you think about that, one of our core competencies, be present as a coach with all that was going on here and her concerns about the topics that were being brought up for coaching?
I don't think she could be present.
Yeah.
No. It's not only the topics, but, you know, it would be the feeling of keeping something from her brother mm-hmm. that was important.
Absolutely. It's a sticky situation all the way around here, isn't it? Yeah. You know, and like I said, this conflict of interest stuff, it's very sneaky. It comes up very quickly if you're not aware and you're not having conversations about it up front in the beginning before you start into any kind of engagement. So that's really critical. I know we didn't tap in a lot today on some of the organizational piece, so coaching in organizations and potential conflict of interest there, but I want to tell you this, there is going to be another opportunity to talk more in depth about that because ICF LA is doing a virtual call, which is free for anyone, on September 5th, so you can actually go out to their website and take a look. And we are going to dive very deeply into a pretty muddy dilemma here and really engage and look at this and tear it apart and look at what could happen even in coaching various individuals in an organization. And again, that would be considered gray areas, but at the same time could end up in ethical breaches. So I urge you all to join me there. So is there any last questions or comments before we leave today?
What's the website of the organization?
Yeah, I just go out and put in Google ICF Chapter Los Angeles.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, and you will find it. That will be coming up in September 5th, okay? All right, any other questions, comments? All right, well, I want to thank all of you for joining me today. I really love talking about this stuff, and I hope that you found it a bit helpful. So take care. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Thank you, Gina.
Sure.
Thank you.